Oh, hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling the radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and we are anchored off the coast of San Salvador in the Bahamas. I'm on the Caribbean Explorer, too, with our friends from Explorer Ventures. It's another Scuba Radio, Scuba Cruise. Welcome aboard, along for the ride, Single Scott. SingleScott.com, by the way. How you doing, Scott?
Oh, it's been great. Wonderful trip so far.
Yes. You know, it's Wednesday. We're recording the show just after sunset, literally anchored off the coast of San Salvador. We've had spectacular conditions this week. I mean, you know, not to knock the other trips that we have done here with our friends from Explorer Ventures, but I'll tell you what, the gods are cooperating with us this week, are they not, Scott?
I'll tell you, the water is warm, the sun has been out, there hasn't been much wind, it has been perfect.
And you know, I said leading up to this trip that the planets were aligning just right because, you know, this time of year to dive in Florida or the Caribbean, with the exception of a hurricane, and as you know, there hasn't been one to pop up on the radar yet. Actually, while we're out to sea, I heard the first named tropical depression has just formed, but it's far and away from where we are this evening. The conditions are second to none. Like you said, flat calm seas. And this time of year, you know, you're at the tail end of summer, so you're still benefiting from, you know, the fact that the winds have died down, which means less sediment in the water, better visibility. The seas are flat calm, so the boat's not rocking. I mean, it's the perfect, you know, it's the perfect storm, so to speak, for scuba divers, isn't it?
The stars have aligned for us. It has been perfect. I mean, I think the visibility on almost every dive has been 100 feet plus. It's just been perfect. No complaints.
Yes. Now, obviously we got to talk to a lot of the passengers and the crew here on the CX2 this week. One of them is Jose. He's getting ready to head down for the night dive, and I want to talk to him first because Jose is from Spain, and leave it to a guy from Spain to tell us what exactly the Bahamas mean, which is where we've been diving this week, because he has a wealth of information about the Bahamas. I don't know if he did this in preparation for his trip from Spain, but he asked me, he says, do you know how they came up with the name for the Bahamas? And he had the whole thing. What was the deal there, Jose?
Okay, first of all, hello to all the friends of Scuba Radio, and thank you, Greg, to give me this opportunity to speak in this radio. Congratulations for your program, because
no problem.
I would like to have something similar in my country, by the way. And Bahamas, as long as I understood, I read in some history, Bahamas come from the two words Baja Mar, low sea, low tide, that Cristobal Columbus, when tried to traverse and stop. And
Christopher Columbus, a Spaniard, right?
No, Cristobal Columbus, the theory, he came from Italy, from James.
Okay, see, I don't know squat. It doesn't matter.
But he was coming in the Spanish mission to the first trip to the New World and discovered this island that was so, so low, because as long as I've seen in one book, it's no more than 60 meters high, the highest point of the Bahamas.
Yeah, they're flat. They're just no cliffs, no mountains. It's just flat. And so the Bahamas means what in Spanish?
Baja Mar. Speaking by a sailor from the south of Spain, Baja Mar. Finally, see, low sea, low tide. Impossible to see unless you see from a low tide, because they are really, really low islands.
Okay, so low tide, which translates into Bahamas in Spanish or something, and therefore that's what they called them.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if you just made that up off the top of your head, but it sounds damn good to me. You hear what I'm saying, Jose?
You can see in Wikipedia, by the way. In Wikipedia website, you can see it.
Okay, he just wants to back himself. As long as it's cool with Wikipedia and the internet, you know it has to be true. But, Jose, I really appreciate it. And I know you're doing your photo specialty, right?
Yeah, exactly. I would like to improve my photo because now, at least, despite the limitation of my camera, I know when the photos are right and why most of my photos is a crap.
he's trying to increase. Okay, he's trying to increase the good versus the bad. I think is I'll translate for him. He's using an Olympus camera. We'll get into all the demo stuff here a little bit later on, and we're going to talk to Jose after his night dive. You're heading down to gear up right now, right?
Thank you. See you later. Bye.
All right, there you go, Jose from Spain. One of the passengers on the CX2 here with our friends from from Explorer Ventures. And he's getting ready to do his night dive. I don't know. I think a lot of people are going to kick back and maybe have a cocktail, skip the night dive. But who knows? We'll have to see who's buddying up with Jose. But see, that's the beauty of live aboard diving. Whether it's one person that wants to do a night dive or several or all, you know, they'll send a crew member down there with him and he'll enjoy the night dive and come back and partake in some Kahlua or Bailey's Irish Cream mixed with hot cocoa and maybe pour a jug of hot water down his wetsuit. It really doesn't get much better than that when it comes to diving, period, does it not, Scott?
No, in fact, last night when we came back up, we did have the Kahlua and the Bailey's there. They had hot towels right out of the dryer, although you didn't really need it. It was nice and warm. But, they sure know how to do it here on the boat.
Yeah, I noticed Scott's not waiting for the night dive. He decided to skip the night dive and go straight to the Kahlua and Bailey's. Or what is that, rum?
That's Bacardi.
Oh, okay. All right, go for the good stuff. Now, also, we have Mike from M&M back in the day. Mike and Mark, we have one half of that team is on board. How you doing, Mike?
Doing well, Greg. How can we complain?
Yeah, exactly. It wouldn't do any good anyway, but there's really nothing to complain about, period, when you're on a trip like this. The weather's cooperating. The diving is awesome. And, you know, we've met some pretty cool people, haven't we, Mike?
Absolutely. You know, and that's one of the nice things about coming on a liveaboard. You make some lifelong friends and learn lots of different varieties. People have dove all over the world, and you know, feast on that experience. You're trading photos and email addresses and top-notch service all the way. It's always an adventure, and you're here for a week, so you get to know people pretty well.
Yeah. Now, last time Mike was on a trip with us, I guess it was we did Australia, right? But before that, you were on the Explorer or Caribbean Explorer 2, this boat in Saba. So how's it compared so far, being that we're about three days in?
I think the diving is pretty comparable, maybe a little bit nicer, a little deeper, a lot of very impressive walls on this itinerary, I've noticed. You know, everywhere we go, there's some nice shallows, and then it drops, and very steep blue walls, beautiful deep fish. Certainly didn't see any hammerheads on the other itinerary.
Exactly. We've already had one hammerhead encounter. We've had a couple of interesting crab encounters and a few other experiments or, you know, experiences underwater that have been top-notch for sure. And like I said, the conditions, amazing. I mean, the visibility, great. The geography of some of the walls and the reef structure here off of San Salvador and Conception Island, where we were yesterday, truly amazing, you think?
Great, great relief. Huge, huge walls of coral and these amazing swim-throughs. Some, of course, are tighter than others. But just a really nice way to dive and see a lot of corals, soft corals, hard corals, and a lot of marine life all at the same time.
Yeah, you know, the swim-throughs here that I've encountered here on this particular itinerary. I did this boat about a year ago, and we had Mermaid Abbey with us. I guess it was a little bit longer than that. And I remember that. It was not so much the fish as it was the underwater, you know, jungle gym maze type of scenery that you had to play with as a scuba diver, because you could swim down through these swim-throughs and these overhangs in the coral and literally just pop through here. It'd be like a little mini, you know, cavern-type, cave-type of setup. But it was very safe because you could always see the exit. But it made for a lot of fun just fun diving, don't you think, Scott?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a hole right in the top of the coral reef, and you just entered there. The guides here show you exactly where you're going to go. And the briefing, they talk about which exit you want to go to. And you come out right in the about 100 feet right on the wall, and then you just work the wall into the current. It's just beautiful.
Absolutely. Now, we've had a few passengers on board. They've been taking advantage of some of the scuba radio, scuba crews, added value elements that we throw into our little mix. Not only do they get to hang out and join us for a little scuba radio broadcast like you're listening to right now, but they've also been able to use some equipment we brought on board from some of our sponsors, our friends at Oceanic and Arius. Gave us some dive computers for people to demo for the week. They've enjoyed those immensely. Also, we've had Bonica high-definition underwater cameras so they can, you know, experiment with that video setup. And I think we've already talked to a couple people that might end up going home and purchasing one of these systems because they had so much fun with it. And then, of course, Olympus, as Jose is actually taking his underwater photography course, he's shooting a little Olympus point-and-shoot camera with a housing. We have some of those units, the new, I think it's the T8000. It's the new point-and-shoot Olympus camera that you can take down to 33 feet without a housing. You put a housing on it. You can go down deeper than you should dive, and obviously you can get some amazing shots with that, and hopefully we'll get some of those up at scubaradio.com. So we've brought those three elements to the liveaboard experience for the people to play with, little added value on top of everything else. My friends at OTS, Ocean Technology Systems, they actually hooked us up with some underwater communication gear, full face masks. So here's the cool thing. This week I'm using that equipment kind of like as a test. I'm kind of learning the gear myself so I get comfortable with it. So maybe for some of the new Scuba Radio videos that we're getting ready to post there at scubaradio.com, we'll have some underwater narration that we can add to the mix. So our friends at OTS been nice enough to hook us up with that. So that's some of the added value elements as far as equipment and that kind of stuff that we've thrown into the mix, you know, as far as our scuba radio, scuba crews. Now, I will say, you know, like everything, we're cutting back with the economy. And, you know, I don't know how else to put it, but it has hit scuba radio in a way that, you know, some of the passengers on this particular trip were a little let down. But lo and behold, Scott came to the rescue. And, of course, I'm talking about the Scuba Radio Mermaids. We don't have any mermaids. We could not afford to bring a mermaid on this particular trip because of the economic downturn. We got to deal with cutbacks like everybody else. But Scott was nice enough to step up and fill in as a Scuba Radio Mermaid. And Bill, the engineer here on the CX2, I'm not talking about our guy back at the studio. They actually have a Bill, the engineer here on the CX2. He was nice enough to duct tape a Scuba Radio Mermaid outfit together for Scott. And we'll get those pictures up at scubaradio.com soon. And all I will say is I'll just apologize up front right now, okay? More coming up.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Captain Slate from Captain Slate's Atlantis Dive Center in Key Largo, Florida, and you're listening to my good buddy and dive pal, Greg the Dive Master, from the world's first radio show devoted to diving, Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
I love it.
Yes, Captain Slate, we're heading down his way next week to do a little lobster hunting in the Florida Keys as Florida lobster season has begun. So make sure you don't miss the big show for that next week. Right now, however, we are on the Caribbean Explorer 2. Thanks to our friends at Explorer Adventures. It's another Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise. Now, we got Jose in the water. He's doing a night dive. We got one of the other crew members, Elisa. Now, she's from where?
I'm from England.
England, exactly. I was going to say that or Louisiana. I couldn't really quite tell from the accent. But you've been around the block a couple times. Now, I mean that in the dive industry sense.
Yes, I've been working in as a professional scuba diver since 1998.
Yes, but fairly new to the Explorer Ventures family, right? Just been on the boat for a week or so?
That's right. Just 1 week.
Yeah. So where'd you come from before this little excursion in the dive world there, Elisa?
Well, I was working mainly in the Cayman Islands for 7 years, but I left the Caymans in 2006, and I've been cruising around on mega yachts for the last 3 years, jumping on yachts in Florida and then traveling around and jumping off again when I get fed up with them.
Yes, exactly. Now, I don't know if she's going to hit me or throw coffee at me if I ask her about who she worked for. Can we say that? We can say that, can't we?
I guess so, yeah. I used to work for Paul Allen.
Which is Bill Gates' right-hand man, right?
That's right, yeah.
Now, the main question everybody wants to know right now is, does he actually use a Mac? Or did he make Windows machines crash on purpose just so we'd have to buy more? What's the deal, Elise? You have the inside scoop on that, don't you?
I can't really say much about him, but I know that I used a Mac to edit, and he didn't mind.
Oh, okay. Well, fair enough. So you were working the white boats, as they say, those type of boats, as his like dive professional on one of his mega yachts?
Yeah, that's right. He's got a few yachts that cruise around, and I was one of the people chosen to work. It was quite fun. Went to some places like Cozumel, and I can't remember any others, around about the Caribbean.
Yeah, just kind of cruising around at his leisure and say, I want to dive here, and you hook him up with the dive gear and kind of be his dive guide, so to speak, for him and his friends?
That's right, yeah. Yep.
Nice. Now, how does that compare to working like a gig like this with Explorer Ventures, you know, on the Caribbean Explorer 2? Obviously, it's a different type of vessel, but and you've only been doing it a week or so, but is it a little bit more social as opposed to what you would do with him, where it'd probably be, I would imagine that you guys are kind of isolated a lot, because it's probably just at the dock most of the time, isn't it?
Yeah, I we're definitely out at sea more on the Explorer 2 here, but his boats travel a lot. Yeah, it's very different on board this one, but I'm still really new, you know, only a week in.
Yes, she hadn't even went through the hazing ceremony yet from the other crew members. They're working on that, I'm sure. So I know you got a massive video set up. You got one of these professional things. You seem to be into that hardcore. And what are you looking to turn into, like a professional underwater videographer? What's the deal?
Yeah, my dream would be to work on like something like the Blue Planet, just get involved in some documentary making there.
Cool. Now, what about, what do you want to see? Are you looking out for the hammerhead sharks like we are here on this week? Any particular animal or critter that you want to capture on film?
Yeah, always sharks. I'm fascinated by sharks at the moment. So the trouble is that they're so wary of divers, it's hard to get close to them, you know?
Yeah, and of course, Elisa is like traveling around with a 50-pound video camera, so it's not exactly, it's like bringing another person along with her. So I'd imagine that the sharks could be a little skittish around that, you think?
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, it's not very convenient to travel with, that's for sure. I have to leave all my shoes behind.
Exactly. So so you're going to do this for how long? What are you on, like 8 weeks and off two kind of thing? Is that the schedule, or do you know yet?
Yeah, I believe I'm 10 weeks on and then 2 weeks off.
Okay, and what do you think? After a week or so of doing this, if somebody was in your position listening right now and say, you know what, I would love to work in the Caribbean. It sounds like they got a pretty cool gig working this job. Would you highly recommend it or say, well, it's not for everybody or what?
It's definitely not for everybody. I mean, if you've got a family, definitely not. And pretty much you work and live on board, so you're stuck on the boat for weeks at a time. So you have to be prepared for that. No internet, which I'm finding really hard.
Yes, yeah, you miss having the web to surf. Well, I'm sure you're doing like eBay, yeah. not other sites like Scott or me would visit. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, just eBay and Facebook, that kind of normal stuff.
Yeah, so yeah, the normal stuff, not the more colorful stuff that we have a tendency to visit. All right, more coming up from the CX2, just off the coast of San Salvador in the Bahamas. We started producing Scuba Radio in 1997, the same year that Designated Diver Sportswear made its debut at the DEMA show in Anaheim, California. Designated Diver Sportwear has pretty much been our supplier for scuba radio tees ever since. It was their commitment to quality and stylish diver designs that caught our attention then and continues to this day. Designated Diver's unique combination of silkscreen printing and embroidery have become the gold standard for those who want to express their divers and are proud of it. So popular, in fact, that many divers around the world now collect them. Of course, over the years, Designated Diver has evolved into more than just diver tees. They were recently acquired by Designated Sports Incorporated, featuring additional lines like Yak Heads for kayaking and paddle enthusiasts, and It's What I Do, the lifestyle line of fun tees that let you express your passion for the sport or activity that you do and enjoy. Go to designatedsports.com to see all the latest styles and put them to work for you and your organization today. No projects too big or too small. That's designatedsports.com. And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master on the CX2, just off the coast of San Salvador is where we're anchored right now. I've been enjoying some amazing diving here on the latest Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise. And hopefully, if you stick around, you'll get a little taste of what it's like to do this. All you have to do is call up Explorer Ventures or go to exploreventures.com and book it. Remember, we're going to be on our next Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise with Explorer Ventures in September, September 26th. It'll be out of the Bahamas as well, the northern end. You fly into Freeport, and then you hop on board the boat for a week, just like we're doing right now off the coast of San Salvador. Now, we're talking to some more of the crew members, very international crew. You just heard Alisa, and now we have Demi. Now, Demi introduced himself. The first night of the cruise, you know, the captain introduces the crew to all the passengers, so you can kind of catch their name and find out what they do on board and that kind of thing. And Demi said, if you have trouble remembering my name, think of Demi Moore. Correct, Demi?
Yes. My Demi, the spelling is D-E-M-I, and exactly same to Demi Moore, and very similar to Demi Moore.
So yeah, he kind of has that Demi Moore look to him.
And yeah, so look like Demi Moore.
Yeah, exactly. And so, and Demi came from the Nautilus Explorer, which they sold about 6 months ago. You were working that Australian itinerary for Explorer Ventures, right, Demi?
Yes, I've been working for Explorer Ventures for more than 7 years now. Yep, I'm enjoying now.
7 years. And so after they sold the boat, they brought you back into the company and said, hey, come out to the Bahamas, work this boat. We need somebody with the name Demi or somebody who has connections with Bruce Willis to maybe help him come on board, right?
Yeah. What?
Yeah, that's okay. just ignore me. Something was lost in translation there. But Demi, it's all good. You're one of the dive masters or the dive instructors here on board. You do you do some training, right?
Yes.
Yes, that's good enough for me. Okay. That works. You're having a good time, though, right?
Yes, wonderful time.
I just wanted to say there's no place else I can think of that you can go and learn how to count to 10 in Japanese. And then also he's very good at showing you what kind of seaweed you can eat when you're underwater.
Exactly. There you go. He eats. He takes little snacks while you're diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba Steve.
I like his flippers. Does he ever take them off?
No.
How about if he goes bowling? They don't make him wear bowling shoes? They let him wear the flippers?
Yes.
Really?
I took a
dive.
Yeah. We've been doing that a lot this week on the Caribbean Explorer 2 Liveaboard, thanks to our friends from Explorer Ventures. It's another Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise. You're welcome aboard to join us on this little adventure here as we do the show literally from the top deck of the vessel anchored off of San Salvador. Now we're talking to Demi, who is one of the dive instructors on board. He teaches the passengers some more skills if you want to do a specialty class, that kind of thing, and obviously looks after the divers and guides them on some of these dives throughout the Bahamas. Now Demi, one of the things we did notice, and Mike pointed this out right before the break, is that you have a tendency to snack on your dives. So we're swimming along and you just grab some seaweed and start chomping down. What's that all about?
That's a sea grape, named sea grape. And actually, I found the sea grapes in Bahama first time. And that I remember in Japan, it's we every day eating the seaweed, and I find out the taste actually very salty.
Very salty, just a little too salty for you, but you still eat it. I saw you do it that today. So you're taking a little snack, or you're really just showing the other people, here, try to eat this?
Yeah, just like same as salt water.
Yeah, it just tastes like salt water. Well, it sounds delicious, but I don't think I'm going to be partaking in any of that sea grape stuff. But it's kind of cool to see someone else do it, right? Just say yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And what was the other thing you noticed about Demi there, Mike?
Oh, his theatrical way of teaching you how to count to 10 in Japanese.
So you give a little language lesson here for the passengers, right? So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You do that. You tell people how to count in Japanese. What about doing a little Scuba Radio shout-out to some of your friends in Japan? I know we have some listeners that check it out at scubaradio.com on the podcast. Say, welcome all our Japanese divers. Hi, how you doing?
Konnichiwa, Nippon no listener no minasan. Bahama wa Nihon kara tottemo toi no de, metta ni Nihonjin wa koremasen. Dare ka tottemo mezurashii tokoro ni wa
Okay, wait, it's a two-hour show there, Demi. Come on. What the heck? And he just said, hi, how you doing? That's it, and that took that. I don't know how you guys get anything done over there.
Okay.
You know, it really doesn't matter. But it's just one of the many cultural exchanges you can encounter when you come on board an Explorer Ventures liveaboard. Scott's done it over 30 times now. And, Scott, have you ever been tempted to just snack on some seaweed when you're diving, you know, one of these Caribbean reefs or what?
You know, I thought I had seen it all until Demi was our guide for that dive, and he just stopped for a mid-dive snack, and I thought about it, but then I saw the expression on his face, and I went, I think I'll pass on that one.
Yes, you know, I'm always up for doing something once, but something like that I'll just skip, and maybe I'll just stick to having my Bahamian Kalik beer. And that'll be the cultural experience I'll get on this trip. But it's fun to watch someone else do it, right?
Well, compared to the other food that we get on board, I thought that a seaweed snack really wasn't in my future. But maybe next time, but yeah, not today.
Yeah, well, when you have ribs and chicken and corn and that kind of stuff to eat here on the Caribbean Explorer 2, sea grapes that are a little on the salty side don't really sound that appetizing, does it? Okay, we have a Dan tip, and then it's more from the Bahamas after that. Stay close.
Want to talk diving or tell Greg the Dive Master he's all wet? Then call Scuba Radio now at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. peak performance buoyancy and the navigation specialty course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
On the line with us is Neil Watson, the depth and distance world record holder for scuba diving. He's also the president of the Bahamas Diving Association. Neil, just what is it about the Bahamas that makes diving there so attractive?
Greg, one of the unique features is our diversity. We're 100,000 square miles, literally 50 miles from the U.S. mainland. Whether it's sharks, wrecks, reefs, walls, we have everything that any diver and even a non-diving spouse could ever want for a dive destination.
You can start planning your Bahamas adventure at BahamasDiving.com. The Bahamas, our 700 islands, could change you forever.
Here at Scuba Radio, we've been fans of Forespins for years. With over 12 styles and just about every color imaginable, Forespins are in a league of their own. Now, they aren't the biggest company out there, just the best. So sometimes Forespins are hard to find. That's why we've made the whole line of Forespins available on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Order yourself a pair today, and they'll be delivered right to your door and be ready for your next dive. That's the merchandise page at scubaradio.com.
Scuba Radio, Divers Consumer Tip number 26. Watching fish and coral spawn can be fascinating while diving.
Are you sure you want to do that?
However, they just think you're a pervert.
What the hell are you staring at?
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving safety tip. And in the studio is Jeff Meyer, COO and Vice President of Training for Divers Alert Network. How's it going, Jeff?
I'm great, Greg, but you're looking a little green. You okay?
Well, I just got off the dive boat.
You still having issues with seasickness?
I was today.
That's one ailment that does tend to find most of us at one time or another.
There has to be a way to beat it once and for all.
Sorry, not really. True, those who spend more time on the water tend to become more resistant to it, but there's no foolproof method to guarantee you'll avoid it.
Great.
It's no big deal. It's just a physical reaction to motion. There's not a dive boat in existence that doesn't have stories of divers feeding the fish, and every person who's spent time on the water has experienced it, or at least enough of it to be queasy.
Okay, so there's no guarantees, but there are suggestions for avoiding it, I hope.
Yeah, sure, lots of them.
You're toying with me now, aren't you?
A little bit.
You are so not my buddy right now.
Okay. Suggestions for dealing with seasickness.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with taking care of yourself the night before you dive. Get a good night's sleep, eat well, and take it easy on the alcohol.
How can that possibly make a difference?
The better you feel, the better your body is able to adapt to conditions.
Okay, I'm convinced. No, what else you got?
It'll sound like a contradiction in logic, but eat a little something the morning of the dive. Keep it light, but you'll be surprised at the difference it makes.
How do I keep from thinking about it? It's like the moment I step on the boat, I worry about whether or not I'm going to be sick today.
You're not alone, but while it's easier said than done, try not to think about it. Constant worry about becoming seasick tends to become a self-fulfilling prophecy. Think about the dive. Think about the day. Think about Christmas. Anything but getting seasick.
Christmas?
Sure. You'd be amazed at how decking mental halls and singing jingle bells can take your mind off things.
I'm feeling better already. So while I'm singing...
Stay on deck. The fresh air will do you good, and your eye will be able to stay on the horizon. That helps your body adapt to the motion, as what your eyes are seeing will match what your body is feeling. Your mind will be less confused.
The fresh air does feel good, and I find the middle of the boat rocks less.
Yep. And stand instead of sitting if you can. Your legs will help to absorb the motion.
Steadiness is really one of the biggest helps, isn't it?
It is. Minimizing the motion, not getting too hot or too cold, keeping your eyes level, it all can help.
I'll say one thing about seasickness. It definitely gets me in the water.
Yeah, if you're up for the dive and not dehydrated from getting too sick, definitely get in the water as quickly as possible. Not only will you feel better getting under the waves and the motion, it'll get your mind off your stomach for a while as it focuses on the dive.
But of course, if the seasickness is really laying you out...
As much as you'll hate to stay on the boat, don't risk the dive. Only you will know if you're well enough to dive, and you'll have to make that call.
These are all great tips, but what about drugs? There's got to be a magic pill or something to take, right?
Yes and no. There are a lot of remedies out there, and every diver swears by a different one. Like anything else, you have to try them and see what works for you.
If you want to go natural, I know ginger works well.
Yep. And if you like pharmaceuticals, medications like Dramamine or Scopolamine are favorites of many. But if you decide to go that route, please be careful. They can have side effects like drowsiness and dry mouth, and we know that fatigue and dehydration are not a diver's friend. Test them before you dive to see how you react, and be aware that drugs wear off, so you'll want to consider that in your dive planning.
I've also tried the wristbands and similar things that use pressure points and magnetic pulses. They're not bad either.
Nope. A lot of divers have good luck with those. The trick really is to find what does and doesn't work for you.
And assuming all the tips, drugs, ginger, and pressure points on hand don't work?
Try to make it to the leeward side of the boat. Don't use a marine head. They can't handle it. Stay outside in the fresh air and try to drink fluids as much as possible so you stay hydrated. And above all, remember that it's no big deal.
Yeah, that's what they tell me. Seasickness is a common affliction among divers, and there's no shame if you experience it. It can be uncomfortable, though, and it can lead to dive risks. So do what you can to minimize seasickness or prevent it altogether. But whether you beat it or it beats you, just remember to take care of yourself. Do that, and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
Well, seasickness is definitely not a problem on the CX2 this week. We have had flat calm conditions, and that's a good thing for sure, but it's always good to keep in mind, you know, when you're heading out on a boat, whether it's a day trip or a live aboard, that you prepare properly. And, of course, that's what that Dan tip was all about. Now, and by the way, before I forget, Jeff Meyer is going to be on our next Explorer Adventures live aboard September 26th. Wild dolphins, we got Olympus cameras, we got Bonica high-def cameras, and, of course, we have some dive computers from our friends from Oceanic and Aries dive equipment. So it's going to be a great trip, and wild dolphins to boot. But Jeff's going to come on board and tell us some facts about Divers Alert Network and some accident reports. It's always cool stuff just for any diver to hear what he has to say on some of these incident reports that they track there at Divers Alert Network. So that's a special treat to have Jeff Myers from Divers Alert Network on board our next Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise. However, this week, you know, we're having a great time. The conditions are awesome. Single Scott is with us. SingleScott.com, by the way. Go there. If you are single or you know someone who is single, you can win some big bucks, right, Scott? Should we get your little plug in here now?
Absolutely. $10,000 to the person that introduces me to my next wife.
Yes, it's $1,000 a year for every year you remain married to this person. So it's either you are listening right now, this person is listening right now, or you know somebody who will marry single Scott, make him married Scott, and then you get to cash the chips in, so to speak, or, you know, get all kinds of money.
Yeah, $1,000 a year on our anniversary up to 10 years.
Pretty sweet. Pretty sweet deal. So singlescott.com, go there for all the details. Now, you know, Scott, what else are you looking for this week other than the hammerheads? Because we've already seen one.
Besides a wife?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, okay. There's a lot of little things here. There's we saw a Crabzilla today. Really looking forward to more hammerheads. They said tomorrow we're going to hit a site that they see hammerheads 90% of the time.
Yes, it's, you know, just, and believe it or not, that's a good thing. We actually are looking out for these animals, and they're quite amazing to see up close and personal out there in the open water here in the Bahamas. So hopefully we'll see more. Now, you brought up Crabzilla. Now, I don't know what species of crab this is. Matter of fact, we have somebody on board from Adabi. Abu Dhabi, someplace in the Middle East. She's a crab expert. She's looking up the Crabzilla species as we speak, and we'll talk to her next, find out what exactly type of crab Crabzilla was here off the coast of San Salvador in the Bahamas.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their live-aboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com. But it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why for the second year in a row, we have made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. We're doing 4 weeks on board ourselves this year, and you're welcome to join us on any of these special adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
You don't think sharks are sexy, do you?
No. Wait a minute, what was a Little Mermaid?
Ooh, baby, I'm going down. I'm going down. Cause you ain't around, baby. My whole world's upside down.
And like, you know, a lot of times they'll be hanging upside down. I'm talking about these crabs that we've seen in the Bahamas. Crabzilla, as Single Scott just pointed out, was what we saw earlier today. Now, Lo from Abu Dhabi, which is someplace in the Middle East, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah. It's about an hour away from Dubai in the United Arab Emirates.
All right. And she is a crab expert. You're an expert on crabs?
Yes, I am a crab expert.
Exactly. And she was very nice at pointing out this crab, and she's been looking through the book to figure out what type of crab Crabzilla was. It was massive. It was a monster crab. It could have eaten us for dinner tonight, couldn't it?
Yes, it could have. And you know what? I think that was Junior.
You think it was Junior?
I think that was Junior, yeah.
Okay, so you named the crab yourself, but what is the technical name of the species of crab that we saw of Crabzilla? What do you think?
It was indeed Mithrax spinosissimus.
That's Abu Dhabi language you're speaking right there, right?
No, I believe it's Latin.
Oh, okay. I'll go with that, too. But what does it say in the book? Like, in layman's terms, that crab was a what? A channel
a
what?
A blooming big crab.
What? What the hell? I don't even know what kind of crab that is, and I don't think
blooming
I want.
A big one.
It was a big, massive crab. Crabzilla, I tell you. No, what does it say in the reef book? It says it's
channel
a channel.
Clean crab.
Channel cleaning, and I just went right in there and videotaped it, didn't I?
You did. You
I showed
it.
No fear.
You, I'm telling you, I thought it was going to go for your pinky at one point.
Yeah, but you were impressed, weren't you?
You went in a wetsuit. You know?
I may be a warm water wuss, but when it comes to channel cleaning crabs, I am the man, aren't I?
You were chasing it around.
I wasn't chasing it. Yeah, I was just videotaping.
Scurry away from you.
He was trying to get away from me. You know, he obviously was a female.
Quite possibly, yes.
Is that usually what's happening, right? You're kind of moving away from me as we speak.
Yes.
No, have you been having fun, Lo?
No, it's been rubbish.
What's that? It's been rubbish, huh?
Yeah, it's been rubbish.
Yeah, it just, I mean, that's how she is. That's how they speak in Abu Dhabi or something, right? That everything is negative and you take it and flip it. No?
No.
No, which is yes. See, there you go. See, you know, she's just one of the cool characters, friends that we've made here on board. You're going to hear more from her. You're going to hear from Captain Dave. We're going to talk to Jose after his night dive. That's all coming up in hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving from the Caribbean Explorer 2. Thanks to our friends from Explorer Ventures. Stick around.
Each little slug here, cutting a rug here, under the sea. Each little snail here, know how to whale here. That's why it's hot under the water. Yeah, we didn't look here, down in the muck here, under the sea.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know, what I just heard,
blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.